Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the end of Act 2 of the Dawn of Defiance campaign crept ever closer as Episode 7, A Reckoning of Wraiths, continued. Before we begin the show tonight, as always, let's briefly introduce our cast, beginning with Cool Cat. There he is. It's the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, playing Harani Tar, Shannon Young.
Haha! Thanks, Hunter!
Well, that was terrible. All right, that's the show. That's all we got.
That's my cool cat.
Let's welcome back into the fold for the first time in what seems like a long time. The Sigurd himself, Tanner Calvert, is here tonight. Hopefully not getting called away. Tanner, it's audio, buddy. Okay.
My phone is on Do Not Disturb tonight. I am not.
Oh, yeah, I've just had, let I've him burn. It's week. Fine.
I have a joke, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to put it in the chat.
Nope. Okay, well, that seems like a terrible idea. Fresh off of AnimeCon 2021, playing Iris Nay is Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hello.
I was going to say, who hopefully heard me. Because that seemed like I real slow for a minute. And down there by himself, I don't know why I said that like he was the only one, is Cruz Cog, Zubat, Zubane, Cody Sandusky.
I'm not on call until the third week of July, so don't worry. I won't be called away for quite a while yet.
Who's got you on call? The Lord?
No, he doesn't pay you well enough.
And the Lord will judge him for it.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Well, what's that?
I don't like that sound at all.
Nor do I.
Oh, no, it's the internet.
What's interesting?
The internet just got weird, and
the internet's got weird.
what I mean by like is the
there's nothing new about that.
The bit rate on the show stopped. And then it just did the swirly thing like we weren't connected. But
oh.
I think it's okay now. I don't know
That might.
It went to absolute zero.
Because here's what I heard. What I heard was the bit rate on the.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, down a little bit.
I've got all green bars everywhere, so that's unfortunate. I think we're okay now, though, so let's just keep it going. I didn't distract too much from the
show.
Let's
do it.
Yeah.
No. So last week, if you missed last week's installment, our heroes are desperately trying to get off of the planet Coruscant. Of course, they destroyed the Amici Spire back in Episode 6, and they've been holed up here ever since. Things do not seem to be going well. They were laying low for quite some time, but the ISB has caught on. They traced them back to their hideout, where they slaughtered all of their recipients. And so having... face down a team of tactical agents. Our heroes have made their way back to the Cloudspire platform where they arrived. Unfortunately, they found it in a state that they were not fully anticipating, I suspect. There's quite the Imperial presence guarding the Midnight Coterie. And at the moment that Harani had exclaimed that she had a bad feeling about this, her comlink crackled to life with an unknown voice saying, so did they, but they had a plan. And that's where we ended last week's episode. So with that in mind, you guys ready to begin this week?
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Okay. Then we will pick right back up where we left off. Again, let me give you a more sort of formal description of what you guys saw. So using your stolen land speeder, you guys made your way over to the Cloudspire platforms, taking in the landing field with a quick sweeping glance, the surface all embellished by lights and endless lines painted in reflective enamel, and then people left. That was Lindsay. That can't be good. That can't be good at all.
Et cetera,
Channing, you still there?
Shite.
Yeah, I'm still. You know what? Let me turn Cool Cat off so you guys can see that I'm still here. The joke's over.
Okay. Yes, please. Yes, please do.
Kill the joke with fire.
We need visual confirmation.
Yeah. No, I'm still. I'm still here and kicking.
I don't want to. I don't want to say too much more until Lindsay gets back.
Lindsay, can you still hear us, or is she gone? Gone.
She dipped.
Hang on.
She bounced out completely.
Well, Tanner keeps freezing on me too. Like, what is going on tonight? This is strange.
No, my internet at the house has been garbage the last
couple of weeks. I mean, it's Discord. Is it really that strange? Like, this is about once a month or so we have this Discord issue.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't know. Maybe we ask too much of Discord. I don't know.
The Discord and Discord.
I might just bring up, since Worldwide Developer Conference was today, Hunter, when iOS 15 comes out, we can do FaceTime with SharePlay, which means we can invite these guys into a FaceTime call and rely on Apple to do this.
I understood all those words individually.
Cody, what I'm excited about is, remember when Microsoft debuted, I forget what it was called, but it's like these glasses. You can use it with virtual reality, or they have their own glasses that will create AR workspaces for everyone to share in on. That looked incredible. I mean,
what they called it was the mixed reality portal. Yeah.
Is that the thing that's coming out?
No.
Okay, because there's something coming out. I forget what the name of it is, but they did the big whatever for it. It looked absolutely incredible. The glasses themselves cost like $3,000, though. So get you an Oculus Quest. That's probably going to be better.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So it's how well Google Glass went the first time around, too.
Michaela also confirming that the stream is freezing occasionally, so... One of those nights.
Duper.
Duper.
They knew we were on the wrong night. That's the problem.
Yep. We threw a wrinkle in the plans, and they do not appreciate it.
And the Lord will punish us for it.
Damn it. Yeah,
Tanner does keep freezing up for me, too. Because he definitely just spoke without moving his mouth a second ago.
He had eyes without a face.
Unless he's learning ventriloquism.
Hunter, I feel like I'm hearing
you. What?
I see. It happens to me. It's been happening to me the last few weeks with you. Like, you will talk, and then I will hear the audio a couple seconds after the fact, which is why I feel like my response.
Yeah, I'm showing up. Like I said, Shannon, I'm showing up full green, you know, 23 ms. Like, should be okay. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Same here. Like, my stuff's not. It hasn't been giving me any problems, but
maybe it's time.
Be a man. Go see Marvin's.
Yeah, you're like,
you're
5 seconds behind.
Maybe it's time we went back to pure audio. Maybe the Lord wasn't ready for us to do video.
I don't know that was ever any better, was it? We had those issues too, though.
That's true, but we all recorded our own stuff individually, and at least.
She's gone again. Yeah.
Should we just go forward without her?
Or maybe we just go back to doing this in person. Man, I hate to, because I really don't want to give away too much here, but I guess I can. All right, so again, you guys are at the landing field. You've got taking a quick glance around the area. Countless lights, endless lines painted in that reflected enamel. There are a couple of different ships and space transports that are parked up on these raised platforms. Your vessel is at the far end of the field from you, and it's curious that you don't see any of the usual activity that you would normally see on a very busy spaceport tarmac. There's not labor droids that are moving cargo around, no customs officials, and that's because, again, you've noticed that the entire presence in this area is strictly Imperial. A massive AT-AT is standing almost directly over your transport. It looks like a huge armored watchdog, basically. The head moves back and forth occasionally like it's searching for prey. There's a number of stormtroopers that are assembled near your ship. A couple of them are actually manning two large E-Web repeating blasters that are mounted on tripods. Beyond that, there is not a lot of other presence at the... at the scene. In fact, I'll kind of give you, I can move you over to a field here so you can get an idea of what this looks like. So for the record, the Millennium Falcon is already painted onto this, but that is the coterie in this case. And I will move you over there right now. So that's what you're looking at.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You guys would be approaching from the south, like the far south of the map. You can come in anywhere you want there, but that's basically what you're looking at. The S's are stormtroopers. that are parked up behind those crates. The HSs are heavy troopers. They are where the E-Web blasters are. So you can see there's one almost directly ahead of you, and then there is another one off to the, should be off to the left there, if I remember correctly. Why am I not seeing it? Well, in any case, it would be directly basically in front of the ship. So that's what you're looking at. to your left, wherever you are coming in, on the south of that map there, you can see there's like a terminal area, like a space that you could go in through. Typically, this is where someone would go through to get into their ships. So you're welcome to enter anywhere that you like in that area. And I'm not going to put anybody on the map just yet unless we need to. This initiative has not been rolled, for the record. This is not a case where everyone is already fighting. They are just sort of ready to do so. Ronnie had mentioned that she had... As far as I'm concerned, you're already out of sight. You're off. If you're off the map, you're out of sight. You have not actually entered the airfield at this point. Roddy had mentioned that she had a bad feeling about this, and again, a very sort of droll voice had come over the comm link, a voice that none of you recognized in the immediate, saying, so do I, but I think I have a suggestion. However, they are not immediately forthcoming with that suggestion.
I'll say, I'll play Lindsay's part for a second. I feel Iris would get on the comm and say, who is this and what's your suggestion? Or in the words of Cool Cat, identify yourself!
Does he say that? Is that a thing?
He does. He, when Butch the Bully calls him, he says, identify yourself.
The fact that he knows this is just...
I knew he would. That's why I asked.
You've paid that man money, haven't you?
Not yet.
You've paid that man money to watch his movies, haven't you?
Not yet.
If he would come on the show, he would.
If he comes on this show, I'll buy every DVD he's got and his wrestling.
It's that Ron Burgundy gift from the beginning of the movie. Just smoking. I don't believe you.
I reached out to one of these terrible creators that you've liked in the past, and I can't remember who it was.
Was it Neil Breen?
Probably Neil Breen.
It was Neil Breen.
He's too classy to come on our show, but Derek Savage, you give Derek Savage a sandwich, he's on board.
Usually, I've got some great guests lined
even
up.
Half a sandwich.
Tanner, man. I'm not saying that Derek Savage is a better guest than anybody you could pull. I'm saying Derek Savage is a human dumpster fire, and human dumpster fires.
I think you misunderstood the situation there.
No, I'm not talking about what he said about Derek Savage. I'm talking about Neil Breen.
Oh, Neil Breen. Neil Breen's a fucking saint. You leave him out of this.
You know who would be a great guest?
He's a classy man.
You know who would be a great guest?
Chong. Chong would be. Good. I mean, you could get Cheech on here, but you got Chong right there.
Hunter Krychek was right there the whole time.
Krychek was right there. They could have just used him. Anyway.
By the way,
great show tonight for you kids.
Lindsay is on her way down here, by the way.
Okay. Sounds good. So we can hold for a second. I can play out that conversation, though. I mean, basically, you're just asking who it is. He's going to respond back. Actually, this seems like a good time to hand this over and let him respond back.
Oh, actually, it's a good time to make room for Lindsay. That scared the shit out of me. Hold on. I got to get things set up. You guys talk amongst yourselves. Let me give you a topic. No, I'm not going to do that bit. All right.
Are you feeling a little verklempt?
he's schmutzing over there. Hunter, he's schmutzing.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll even give you a topic.
I'm schmutzing. Here's one.
The peanut is neither a pea nor a nut. Discuss.
One nut.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You hear us?
The bean.
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's a legume.
All right.
Legume. Where's my iconic Jedi roll?
Can you? All right. Can you guys hear Lindsay? Lindsay, go ahead.
Do I need to speak up?
You think maybe you should sit here closer to the mic, and I'll sit further away since I'm louder.
We can hear.
If they can hear you, they can hear
you. That's up to you guys, but I can hear her. Yeah,
you're fine. As long as you guys can hear her, okay. That's
just whatever you want to do. Yeah.
All right, so do you hear what's been happening?
Hearing myself.
Huh?
It's just weird hearing myself echo from yours and this, even though I'm muted on this.
Okay.
That was great.
This is a good show, ladies and gentlemen. Marred by technical difficulties.
This is what happens when you get it on a Monday.
It was fine until your internet did whatever.
It's my internet's fault. Okay. Let's go. Tanner, come back. Unless he's gone too. Is Tanner gone too?
He's there.
He moved. He moved.
It's the Discord. It's the Discord thing. Hold on, let me fix it. I don't know what's going on with Discord. There it is. That is so irritating. All right, let's play the game.
Please.
Let's play.
Yes.
So, your mystery guest was asked to identify himself. So, identify yourself.
Well.
Oh.
Sorry. I wanted to put Lindsay on the spot for absolutely no reason. I hate being so close to the microphone. It bothers me. The mystery voice would neglect to identify himself and would instead... He doesn't know what the plan is here, so he's winging it.
But he just said at the end of the last one, he had a plan.
I just... In regards to who it is, he would say neither friend nor foe, but let's get you out of this mess so we can talk further. And that's literally all I know. So
that's fine. Yeah. So at that mention, your attention turns to the AT-AT, which had, as I mentioned, you know, been sort of patrolling that large space behind where your ship is, kind of sweeping its head back and forth. Now something is clearly wrong. Like, whereas normally they move pretty gracefully, like the four legs move in tandem the way that they should, it's like one of the knee joints locked up, and then another one does, then it takes a step back, then it seems like all the legs sort of pull in awkwardly before they pull back out and stretch out. It's like the thing has been possessed, and so you can hear the troopers in the immediate area turning the two on the E-Web guns, have been ordered to stay on their weaponry, but the rest of them are being called over to the transport itself to figure out what's going wrong.
That's when the voice comes back over the recorder and says, "Spooky, isn't it? Do something." And we do it all, so.
I'm so confused.
Okay, so where on the map?
Roz is also very confused.
On the map, where is everybody?
You guys can come in anywhere you want on along that southern border.
Oh, where is the...
My plan was to come in right under the word workshop.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
So that's the... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut everybody off.
I would like to try to sneak along this wall, try to get to the coterie.
I mean, I feel like our sneaky days are done if this AT-AT is being disabled.
Well, if they're all being distracted by it.
Most of them.
I mean, for the record, again, the gunners who are over here, the HS spot, come on, do the little thing. There it goes. They have been told to stay on that E-Web blaster, so they are technically, not to say that they aren't distracted, but they are still remaining at their post. The others, however, the four in front of your ship, have been called over to the AT-AT.
Would they be distracted enough for a well-timed thermal detonator to just roll right by them?
I mean, we also have a missile launcher with four charges.
We do have a missile launcher, too.
Where did that come from?
Listen to the episode.
Who's got the missile launcher?
Listen to the episode, dude.
If someone else wants it, they can have it.
I tried.
All right, so what do you think, missile launcher? So, all right, let's say we're all where Cody said Kruskog was going to be. We're all down at that workshop area. Harani's going to pull out the thermal detonator and just kind of point at it and point at the gunners. And then, Lindsay, if you want Iris to point at her rocket launcher and then the gunners. And then Graz points at one of each and it's like,
So, your goal is to reveal yourselves and, like threaten them into it? Is that the plan? Or you're going to try to take shots at them before they can do anything?
My goal, if it was the thermal detonator, I was literally going to roll the detonator just... roll it to them and watch them go boom.
Oh, okay. Like, then ignite it and
then just roll it. And then we make a run for the coterie. But if Lindsay wants to shoot a rocket launcher, I'm all for shooting rocket launchers.
And I'd would like not to be healed noticeable. Some before we do anything.
But I've Y'all, heard...
Kruskog has a lot of skills in these moments.
Okay, Kruskog. You do your thing. Then you go down there. Go in there and put your thing down, and we will watch.
I need to look at how large of a power energy cell an E-Web blaster uses.
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head.
I'll find out.
E-Web repeating. Blaster.
My apologies for not being ready for this. I did not expect this to be a...
It operates on a power generator.
Yes.
Yeah, it operates on a full-size power generator. So, I don't know what that does for you, but that's what it is.
It means I gotta roll my max. I've gotta hit my DC 35 because I would be able to... if the object's being powered by a power generator, you drain all the power from that instead.
If you roll max.
That's a DC 35, so I'd have to roll a... 16.
Ugh. At least.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget about your
hot. You got about a 25% chance, approximately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the odds aren't good.
Don't ever tell me the odds.
Never tell me the odds, Cody.
I don't have to. You did for me. You told me
the odds. Man, I keep forgetting. We got the dice. They're in our car. They're hanging over the mirror. Hans dice from the Falcon. Yes. Yes. They were only like $12. It was super inexpensive by comparison to most of the other stuff.
I'd say they're Leia's dice now. Wait, nope, not anymore. I don't know. I don't know whose dice they are now. Hunters.
Rays? Chewies?
Mine? Yeah, they're definitely Rays.
Chewie?
Oh, you mean
it's mounted on a tripod? Because that does change the size of it.
Yeah.
Okay. It makes it a large weapon rather than huge for whatever it's worth.
Do the thing, and then I'll throw the detonator if it doesn't work, and you get your rocket launcher ready. We're just going to go balls to the wall.
Yeah, basically the idea is there's two heavy troopers on each of these guns, and this guy is... One of them is ready to wield it, like, two-handed, basically, and the other one is firing up the generator.
The generator, right.
Yeah.
All right, so I just have to be within 6 squares and line of sight. Oh, man, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If I stand right about here, if my math is right, I'll be able to do this.
Yes. Although you're going to have to, if you get that close, you're going to be within visibility range, unless you're trying to stealth in that direction.
Right.
Basically.
Stealth. Exactly. That's why I was looking at my
stealth. Like a Chibi, a stealth roll will basically just be, you're basically just going to be in the shadow of those two, like looming underneath those two starships.
Right. Before we do this, I'm going to go ahead and make the force check. Yeah. Before I do these two things, I'm going to use the force check to do force treatment on
You guys need healing and stuff.
Hi, Melissa, by the way. I'm going to do that. I don't know if you're still listening, but hi, Melissa.
Sigurd, you got hit for 26 damage total in the last combat. So wherever your total is, take 26 off. I knew it wasn't enough to kill you, so that's all I was worried about.
I'm
force, that was a 26.
I'm sorry, what?
What's happening? It was a 26 for treat injury.
Okay, so 15 means you hit it, and then every single one over. So you roll a 29, 26. Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
29.
Okay. Treat injury, and this is on who?
Me.
This is me on Iris.
Okay.
One of the squishy ones.
So 14, your character level is 13. So Iris, you get 27 hit points back.
Sweet. I'm almost back at full health.
Cody, I think I'm okay. I've got 58 hit points currently, but my overall is just 69. So
nice. I'm not even doing a bit. No, I'm not doing a bit, Hunter. I want to, but I'm not doing a bit. I'll roll it. Well, it's a 21 for you.
For your health. So that's 13
6.
Plus 6 over, so 19. You get 19 back.
Oh, I wasn't even asking for healing, but okay. Well, that puts me at full health. Thank you.
It's unlimited. Force treatment doesn't have anything. I just use the force checks. So as long as we got time, I can do them. Sigurd, you're up. Let's see what you get. One.
Do we have time?
Whoa! Well,
you actually do. Oh, damage.
But okay. But you succeed on a no, because it's a skill check.
Yeah, exactly. DC 15.
Yeah, how long does this take? For the record,
yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I mean, it's I'm
that's
trained,
a good question. It's a
treat, well, I mean, I would ask treat injury. Treat injury or first aid is required as a full round action. So 6 seconds.
Wow, that seems OP. All right.
I'm not disagreeing. No. I'm just using it as it's written.
No, that's... Yeah. It's... So you don't have to use a med pack or anything. Force treatment, that's not in here, is it? Where'd that come from?
I mean,
from?
If he does, I got like five of them that he can...
Force treatment is Clone Wars, page 41. I'll just read it verbatim. You can make a use the force check in place of a treat injury check. You are considered trained in the treat injury skill. If you are entitled to a reroll, you may reroll your use the force check instead, same or subject to circumstance limitations. In addition, you can administer first aid, treat disease, treat poison, and treat radiation without the requisite medical kit or med pack.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, make that instead of that. Hang on. Go back. Where the?
We'll start calling you Medical Jesse.
Where'd it go?
Why am I Medical Jesse? Is your ungrateful ass wanting those points taken away from you? Because I can just as easily not treat you.
What I just heard was, why am I Uncle Jesse? That's what I heard in the process of that. So that's first aid. That's the version of first aid without a med pack. Yeah, no, that's okay, cool. I just wish it gave me a time, but I guess full round action is a time. That's 6 seconds. So okay. So then for Tanner or for Sigurd 20, so that's 5 over. So Sigurd, you get 13 18. 18 hit points back. Yep. So the minimum you could do is 18, basically.
Yeah, at this point in our characters.
Okay.
Damn.
Well, forget it. You may as well hit Graz, too, because he got beat up a little bit that last go around. He took 26 as well.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Man, you beat me to it. I was going to go right into it.
All right, so 13... plus 10 over is 23, so he's only down 2 now. That's good to know. Okay.
Hey, that man is a full-time senator.
We're gonna say all that happened on the ride over. We're gonna hand wave this and
that was
for
kinda, yeah. Okay.
All that happened on the ride over. I didn't think about anybody needing healing. So on the way here, all that took place. Gruskog did all that in the way en route to this. Okay. Now, what do you want
to
do?
En route to combat. Yeah, now I want to stealth. And boy, am I nervous.
I got the thermal detonator ready.
Yes.
Yes, ready to, have some.
Ready to toss it, baby. You say the word.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
I threw the thermal detonator.
No, you didn't.
Why?
That is not how it happens.
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Well, kids,
well, it's a skill
run
check.
To the
That's
ship.
What you got going
Cruise
for
Cog's
you.
Dying.
The good news again is you have a skill check. Also, you have a destiny point, just for the record.
I do.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I need to make an opposed roll for them really quick first.
Can I go ahead and just earmark that destiny point for this?
Good luck beating that 7.
I mean, even at a 3, I'm not going to lie to you. They did beat you. So now you got 4 points and you got a destiny point. You can use whatever you want. But I cannot tell you by how much they beat you.
Well, right. I mean, at this point, they've got to at least be semi-competent. But also, I want to save that force point for the the drain energy check. So
you have 2. You have two of those.
Right,
two
force points, one destiny. Use them both in that situation?
Oh, I don't know. I don't. Wait, what? Like, well, right now? Okay, I see what you're saying. You want to use it to get it back in case you're in combat. Okay.
Well, no, my thing is if I use the force point to pass this check, would I then be able to use the force point to add to the next check?
Yeah, yeah. There's no rounds happening right now. Okay, you're not in round-based combat, so that's irrelevant. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay. You just can't use two to do the same thing. You can't, oh, I didn't get it with a force point. I'm going to put another force point on it. They don't stack.
Hunter doesn't like the idea of you getting two force points in one action.
That's a 6, so that's a 15.
It's a 15? You rolled an 8. 8 and 6 is 14.
Yeah, because I'm a Jedi. Oh, yeah, never mind. Mass hard. I didn't know. Sorry. Sorry. That's my fault.
Yeah, because I'm a Jedi. I just do whatever I want.
I thought you were questioning the D8s instead of the D6s. I wasn't thinking about the math that the game did in my dumbass reading.
No.
That's my fault.
No, 8 and 6 is 14. That's a 14.
Yeah,
now it feels pertinent to tell you that, no, that is also not going to succeed.
You scum of a bitch. All right, cool. Let's just do this. Let's do drain energy. Let's go. Notice me or not, I got to do it.
I mean, again, you can use the destiny point. You can still use the destiny point because they're not the same thing. It just renders the force point irrelevant.
Yeah. Right, which is fine. Most of what I've been doing is relevant recently. Because I've never used it in this situation, can I use a destiny point for the check, use the force power thing?
Yeah.
So it is ace 20, which means I get 39, which means I would drain the power generator.
Yes.
Cool. I'm doing that then. I don't know why I'm stressing out about this. They're probably going to shoot me. It's fine.
I want to be really clear. You've been noticed, which means before any of that happens, we're rolling the initiative. So you may not go first.
Risk it.
Just so we're clear. Live on a little. That.
But I don't want to roll another Kruskog before the next session, Shannon.
She's got a rocket launcher.
Here's what I'm saying. At this point, you have failed the stealth check. So your options are let it stand and we roll initiative, or use the destiny point, at which point it seems pertinent. I mean, it's obvious, hopefully, at this point to tell you you will succeed and they will not notice you.
God, I'd hope so. I'd hope so with a 27.
You do what you want. I just want to be clear about the options.
But Cody, if you do that, are you going to be able to hit that target on the force thing? It's a high target.
Again, it's a 25% chance.
Yeah, well, at least if he doesn't, then he's still unnoticed, correct? Like if he uses the force point on the stealth.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'd use it on the stealth check and then try your luck with the draining it.
Let's do it. Let's destiny point the stealth.
Hold on. Let's make sure what Tanner said is what everybody heard. What he's saying is if Cody tries to use the force if he succeeds in the stealth and he tries to use the force and fails, will he not be noticed? I feel like he will be noticed if he tries to use the force on a gun and fails.
At the very least, there will be another attempt to suss him out.
Okay.
But not an immediate, it's happening right there.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear.
Because in this situation, I'm just draining energy from the power source. I'm not actually manipulating anything.
Okay. They're going to know something is wrong, but,
Right.
Actually, in this case, they wouldn't. If you didn't succeed, it doesn't work, so they don't notice anything. So, I would say they wouldn't have it a chance, because if you fail, then nothing happens. So, basically, what happens is this. You are making your way toward the ship. There's something that catches like the edge of your boot and it clatters a little bit. Cause this place is like not silent, but in this area, it's a lot quieter as the AT-AT is going wild in the background. These guys both swing your direction. And it's like that movie thing where we saw you standing there, but when they look there's no one there. And you happen to duck perfectly into the shadow of that ship to your left. It was like, you just knew this was going to happen. You saw, and there was like a brief moment where you felt something bad was about to happen. So as they look away, you make your way back out of the shadows and back close enough so that you can attempt to drain their generator.
Oh boy, a lot riding on this roll. Let's do it.
You can do it.
Kodu.
Oh!
What? Well,
well, Cody, no, Cody, no, no, Cody, Cody, come back, please.
I don't he always has that ceiling fan going. I'm afraid this time. I'm afraid this time he's going to hit us with that gif of Kermit swinging from the ceiling fan, just dangling there.
Left, you're fine. Leave a message after the beep. Oh fuck no, this.
He's going to commit suicide.
Well, once again, I feel it pertinent to mention that you cannot crit fail a skill check.
Yes, we get it, but two ones in a row.
Cody.
It's well, no, he got a one, then he got a six, and a one, and then another one.
A three in a row.
No. If you look, Hunter, I have rolled so far tonight, a 10, a 2, a 1, a 6, a 1, a 6, a 1, a 1.
Wow. You've got more number ones than the Beatles.
Man.
Cool. So yeah, I drained the energy cell of a smaller sized power object. And if I use a force point, I can make it medium. So at this point, I may as well just stood there with my dick in my hands.
So he drained one of the stormtroopers' iPhones, basically. And now he can't get on his phone anymore.
Yeah, it's in the face of fear, man. All right, here's how we're flavoring it. So you're trying to make your way up close enough that you can get a handle on this power generator. You're almost caught doing so. And it's in that moment that existential dread just hits of, wow, I could really die here. Like, this is, all this other stuff up to this point has been terrifying, but now there's a literal AT-AT standing over you. Despite whatever this mysterious benefactor has caused a malfunction in it, they're still there. If these guys swing this gun in your direction, can you stop them from killing you? This is the first time in a long time, because you do a lot of wet work's not the word, but a lot of spy work, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. This is the first time in a long time, if ever, that you are fully exposed. And there's really no defending it. So that fear warps your attempt to try to drain that generator. And you can feel it even happening. Like, there's almost a hideous laughter somewhere in the back of your mind. And it's enough to cause you to just drop all pretense and slink back into the shadows. It does not work.
If it was if it was Crate, he would have offered him a dark point and he would have taken it. And we all
If I thought there was any possibility that he would, you know. Well,
no.
Chris Cause, no. Let's talk.
Don't worry about
let's
it.
Talk.
Let's hear him out.
Just no. Hear him out, Cody.
No.
Whoever
you have 14. Can't wait. What do you? How many?
Yeah, let me listen to the guy who pissed them all away by like episode 3. Tell me about how to use dark side points. Kiss my ass.
If you think that Cody should at least hear Hunter out, raise your hand. Get your hand up. There it is.
There it is. All right, hear him out.
I mean, there very much is a moment of fear. Always gives way to giving in to that fear, and not in the sense of I'm terrified and I don't know what to do. There's also that level of like I could just be on its side. It would be so easy. Like, I shouldn't be afraid. They should be afraid. I could make them afraid. You will succeed on that check if you take a dark side point.
It's just one dark side point.
Just one dark side point.
Karate's got two already.
I got two.
Yeah, because watching Karate put blaster bolts into random skulls has really persuaded Kruskog to follow that path.
Don't they get you so frustrated, though?
Oh, time out before we move on past that. Did you get another dark side point last episode?
Yes.
I shot
just straight up. Shot a dude or a commander, excuse me, a female, straight up between the eyes, handcuffed during an interrogation. Yeah, Harani don't play.
Oh, I'm sorry. Everyone was thinking about doing it. I just shot first.
No!
Honestly, if Harani wouldn't have, I would have.
Yeah! Kruskog's aware. Kruskog, okay, you present this. Kruskog hears this in the back of his mind. Fine, we'll play this out. Kruskog hears this in the back of his mind. Kruskog is also painfully aware of what his entire fight has been on Coruscant, which is trying to beat back the very existence of this dark side, to beat back the very existence of the Inquisitors and Sordidium and all of these beings that have done everything. That's for you, Mr. Young, doing all of this to try to make sure it doesn't ruin the ambitions of his mysterious benefactor and those with whom he has now aligned himself trying to get off of this planet. Kruskog has zero interest in taking the easy way out. He called out Sordidium for doing just that. He cares not about being a hypocrite to do this. He hears it. He closes his eyes. He shakes his head. And he lifts the hood off to stand up in front of what may face him next. He does not wish to take a dark side point.
Fair. I'm here for it.
Meanwhile,
he hasn't been spotted. For the record, he didn't break his stealth having to do that. That's something he can do from there. So it's a moment of clarity.
There's a Kaz man here, and it's also
a moment of clarity.
While Kruskog is being upstanding, Harani is in her head, basically like Santa Claus, going, "Please, Mr. Darkseid, come to me and tell me how to fix things."
I'm going to abbreviate the experience here. This AT-AT is not going to be, you know good well, as a matter of fact, Harani, your calmly crack of life again, and I'm going to take that voice for a second. Not the dark side one, the other one.
It's our voice.
That says, you know, there's not time. You need to make a move now.
All right. I'm throwing the detonator.
Okay.
Game on, kids.
So,
actually, hey,
you are making.
Get your rocket launcher. Same time. Rocket launcher and detonator. Same time.
Okay.
Going that way. Shannon, we at least have a double dash if you roll the thermal detonator to make it to the coterie. If you start blasting off rockets, we're not going to have a movement to do this with.
Anyway, I started blasting.
All right. I'll roll the detonator and we'll all make a run for it. Fine.
Okay. So basically, I need you to make just a single ranged attack roll. So you're going to roll your d20, you're going to add your reflex bonus and your base attack bonus, whatever they are.
So d20 plus reflex bonus plus attack bonus?
Yep. Plus your base attack.
Please roll better than me. Please roll better than me.
Would my reflex bonus be...
Dex. Yeah, okay. I said it wrong. Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I get a plus 17? No.
No, you get a plus 11 if I'm looking at it right. Your base attack's a 9, your dex is a 2. Plus 11 to whatever your d20 is.
All right.
Destiny if you must, my friend.
Let's see if I can Kruskog this.
Oh,
that's better. That's better.
Much better.
That's better.
That is decidedly better. Yeah. Okay.
I'm quite so jealous.
That's my hot links.
Because we are outside of combat, I'm going to treat that as it has a 6-second timer. They don't have time to react. Because you can cook it pretty much outside of combat. I mean, you can, in combat, you'd be screwed. You cook it, it blows up on the beginning of your next turn. But you can cook it long enough that at the last second, you can roll it. And it hits. So damage on a thermal detonator is 8d6. So just do me a favor, roll up that 8d6, please.
I hope it's a lot of damage. All right.
I hope it's a lot of sixes.
Right.
Oh wow,
that's not too bad.
Fives,
pretty good.
Sixes, yeah.
Yeah, that's enough to kill them both. They had 30 hit points apiece. Yeah, and so basically, here's what I'm going to say: is the idea you're going to roll it and everybody starts booking it toward the ship?
Yes, guns.
Like after you roll it,
guns out. By the way, I'm going guns out just in case.
Okay, so everyone, weapons in hand. Kruskog has seen the signal. He knows this is happening because you see the detonator roll by your feet. It rolls up to the edge of the E-Web blaster and ding, like hits the edge of it. The two of them look down and you hear a And at the moment that that happens, it explodes. Simultaneously, you guys are already booking it toward the ship. Everyone's running. The second trooper, the one who didn't look down and see it, looks up and sees you guys running across and starts to point. And Hirani just looks by with both guns in hand and turns one and goes, and keeps on running. The thing explodes, and the entire E-Web blaster goes up in a blaze of glory. The troopers that have been called away to the AT-AT, between that and the explosion there, are so caught off guard and discombobulated that you guys have more than enough time to get onto the ship.
Yes.
So you're able to get directly onto it. Oh, yeah, you're in. You're on the coterie. You are there. What would you like to do? The second that you come on board, first of all, the droids are nearby, but they are deactivated. They're actually both shut down. That's why you have not gotten responses from them.
All right. This is my ship. I'm giving the orders here. Graz, get on the controls. I'll be up there in a second. Sigurd and Iris, get on those guns. Kruskog, could you turn the droids on, possibly?
I mean, not only that, Kruskog's going to use another force power when he gets the chance. So is he able to do that?
All right, that's the plan. I'm jumping in the pilot's spot with Graz and...
Yeah. What's this force power? Go ahead. What do you want to do?
Well, and this is what I was going to ask, because this could very much goof some stuff up. I have ionize as a power.
Okay.
What is that?
Ionize. Sorry. Great. Yeah, you call upon the force to... I forget. Yeah, the breadth of this is kind of ridiculous. I forget about that with the tabletop. You call upon the force to overload electrical systems and droids, damaging or even destroying the unit.
Don't do that.
Well, that's my thing. The goal is to portion that toward the AT-AT.
Okay.
The concern I have is that depending on what happens, I ruin the coterie.
Don't do that.
Yeah, just don't do that.
Don't do that. Just turn the droids on.
Is it based on, what is it, like based on size or something?
It's just ion damage. It's one target within 6 squares within line of sight. It's a use the force check against their reflex.
I'm worried about that AT-AT. It's
Okay.
Look, I mean, if he could do it safely, could help.
I think I have it up here.
Our secret friend has got that thing dancing already. I feel it's a book.
I mean, so it's against its reflex, is what you said, right?
It would be against its reflex, yeah, or the target's reflex. So, yeah, in this case, it would be the AT-AT.
Okay.
I have to unfortunately imagine the reflex defense of an AT-AT is pretty beefy.
Yeah.
I mean, the AT-AT was bad enough. I mean, the AT-ST.
AT-ST.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean...
And so, ion damage... yeah, so ion damage basically deals damage toward the threshold specifically, rather than... Like, it focuses on the condition track, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, do your thing if you want to do it. This is a skill check, so I don't see how it could damage something you're not intending it to damage. Plain and simple.
Okay.
Just do it and get in the car.
Decide what you're doing. I'm going to the guns.
All right, that's a 31, which means it's 6d6 damage, and I'm going to spend my last force point to make it 8d6 damage.
Okay.
If it does, now mind you, does that impede the reflex defense of this thing?
What was it again?
31.
It does not.
Okay, yeah, cool. I blew my load. It's fine. I've done nothing successful today. I'm on the ship. Let's go. Okay.
Let me just explain. It has a 16 reflex. It also has plus 16 armor.
Right.
Oh. So you have to beat both. Basically,
right.
If it makes you feel any better, let me just throw some stats at you. This thing has 300 hit points, a damage reduction of 20, and a threshold of 79.
Just get in the car.
You.
I'm in the car.
You very much have pinged it, but killing it was not really in the car.
Really, let's
go.
We're
in the car. Not in one move.
Well, I didn't plan on killing it.
Okay.
My plan was like hopefully putting it a couple steps down the condition track to help us, but clearly that's not happening.
Let me also pull the curtain back a little bit. It's already technically down a couple because its systems have been malfunctioning for some reason or another. Though it's not clear what's happening there. Yeah. once everybody is on the ship, now that since you're the last one to go on the ship, and Harani's barking out orders and sending people in every direction, I need everybody to make a perception check. Graz included.
Oh, no.
And Graz has a plus five.
All right, I'm going to roll mine here. Harani got a 16.
15.
Okay. What's your bonus? Graz got 14. Okay.
And Iris got...
I think he's got a 29.
Iris got a 25.
Okay. Harani is too busy concerned about her droids and her ship and everything else. Kruskog is just feeling very ineffective in the worst way. And Graz is naturally just... He's got porgs on the brain. But Sigurd, you and Iris both in different ways. Sigurd, for you, it's very much a sort of like speaking through the force, a feeling. Iris, for you, it's just that intuition. Something's off. The Empire had way too much time around your ship when you weren't here. And jumping straight into taking off might not be in your best interests. It was almost too easy to get directly on the ship.
Harani, you need to run a systems check.
What did they do? What did they do in the time that you had access to your ship? That they had access to the coterie?
They could have disabled the hyperdrive. They could have put a tracker on it.
Well, get those droids up and running. Do a ship. Let's do a that thing where you diagnose things. Diagnostics. Let's do a diagnostics. Yeah, quick diagnostics.
Systems check.
That's a mechanics check.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. That's the part I'm good at. Graz flies, I fix. I'm a grease monkey. Where is my mechanics? It is mechanics, right? Yes. I'm not crazy, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, it is. Someone at some point in time will also need to make a used computer check if you're running to run diagnostics.
I can do both. Can I do both?
Really should be one or the other, depending on how much time you want to spend.
All right. Is anybody else good at either mechanics or used computer?
No.
Plus nine.
Roz is not.
Damn it.
He has. He also has a five in both.
Huh?
I got a plus seven in used computer and a plus seven in command or mechanics.
I got plus nine in both.
Seven's okay. Better and Graz is five.
I'm rolling.
All right, Iris.
All right, Lindsay's got plus nine.
Yeah, Iris, you check. You use the computer. I'll mechanic it.
Okay.
This is me first mechanicking. Or should it be one then the other?
Yeah, it doesn't matter which one goes in which order.
All right, me first. My mechanics check. She's 21. That ain't good. All right.
These rolls.
And then you said
it's
nine?
Good enough.
Nine?
Yeah.
Okay. And Iris got an 18.
That is not as good as I was hoping for. Hey, Iris's computer check is she's not used to.
Do you have a force point?
She has two. According to this,
I'm willing to use a force point to make it better. Oh, no.
Do it. 2d6.
Use my
take
knack
the
ability. I'm allowed to reroll any skill and take the better of the two.
There you go.
Sorry.
So, what am I doing?
So reroll it.
Roll again.
Just reroll it.
And hopefully, it'll be better.
And then, if it's not, then you use that force point.
Much better.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. So basically, as Harani starts pulling panels out and getting into the guts of the ship, Iris is going to the computer and trying to get it to respond. And she's so not used to all the modifications Harani has made, she steps back and just like kicks it. And then it does exactly what she wants it to do. So pretty much here's what you guys come across. First of all, Iris, you note that there are three strange signals coming from around the ship. Something is off. They appear to be some sort of tracking device, and they are hidden about the ship. Two of them are giving off pretty strong signals in the immediate area. One of them is giving off a much weaker signal somewhere down in the life support system. Meanwhile, Harani, you, after pulling apart enough panels and following the lines long enough to the space that you want, find that there has indeed been a problem with the hyperdrive. The problem is that there is a large detonite charge attached to the reactor of the ship.
Oh, they want to blow us up!
And it is ready to explode if you engage the hyperdrive.
Also, Jarell, she has a chair. It's just short.
It's fuzzy.
Just point it out. We're not making Lindsay just like
it's
kneel.
Fuzzy.
She has a chair. It's fine. All right. I want to remove this detonator. I want to blow it up. No, I don't.
All right. That will require another mechanics check.
All right.
Iris, for your part, you can call out the locations of the first two, and someone can take care of them. The other one is going to require a perception check to find down in the life support system.
Okay. All right. Here's me removing the boom boom. 27.
Yes, that's good enough. So pretty much the bomb is startling in the sense that it's a freaking bomb, but it is enough for you to stay cool under pressure and eventually disarm it, twist it, disarm it, remove it. Unfortunately, not good enough for you to utilize it for later use. It is fully disabled. Okay. So it's not something you can later use as your own charge, but it is completely inert at this point. Enough that now the sweat starts to break and you can wick that away. Iris, what would you like to do?
I am going to holler out where the two are, and I'll go ahead and do a perception check to see if I can find the other one.
All right, Groz is going after one of them. Groz is not going to find it. He's going to need some help. Groz is very confused and sad and scared and would like to sit on the couch and play chess now.
Ken's just a lost boy.
Did you get them droids up and running yet, Kruskog?
I'm gonna need. Yeah, he does. Yeah, they're up and going, but their like systems are spooling up basically, so they haven't responded yet.
Okay.
Kruskog and Sigurd need to step up here. You need to beat a perception check. You need to beat a very small DC, but Groz ain't gonna do it.
Does she need to do one too?
Yes.
How about a 17?
That'll do it. Yeah, Iris calls out as she rushes past you that there's one somewhere in the holding bay, and it's not very well hidden. It doesn't take you very long to find it. It's like a little blinking, almost looks like a little charge of itself. You can do whatever you want with it. Crushing it is simple enough, and that'll disable it.
That's the plan. So, Iris is going to the life support bay, right? Or is she going for the one that's...
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so she was going after the big one.
All right, I'll go look for the last one, I guess. Perceptions plus 9.
Yes.
Don't Kruskog this.
23.
Okay.
Yeah, she calls past, or as she runs past you, she calls that it's hidden somewhere and in the, what do you call it? Like the, basically the quarters, crew quarters, and it doesn't take you very long to find it either. It's in an unused footlocker. Pull it out, crush it. It's done. It's out. All right, Iris, the last one is deep in the guts of the life support system. Go for it.
He's 27.
27.
That's good. That'll do. That's good. Yeah, pretty much you have to crawl almost all the way down into the machinery. Like, you're hip deep in it, pretty much, and practically upside down. But eventually you pull that little blinking bugger out of there and crash that bad boy.
Good.
The ship seems safe for now, as best you can tell. Through the diagnostics and such. As you all come rushing back through, Harani, your droids are finally kind of coming back up, and they're very inquisitive. You know, Banglin is bumping into your leg like, what? It's like a dog when you first come home, like he's just bouncing against you, and Mr. Peanut has questions. Too many for me to spout out just here. You know, what's going on? What are we doing? Why were we shut down?
Harani, on her way back to the control, she's just gonna go to Mr. Peanut and
where's
just go,
your monocle?
Just shh, and touch his lips. Shh.
I was hoping she would do the Homer. No time for you, old man.
You know what? Reverse time. Reverse time. No time for you, old droid.
I went out for the morning paper and I got lost.
Get on those guns.
Oh.
Aim at those stormtroopers and start blasting away as we get the hell out of here.
You hear Kruskog in the background? Right. I love Joel droid.
Peanuts looking over at Peanuts looking over at the other droid going, Banelin, help.
All right, Groz is gonna hit that pilot check and we're gonna get out of here. And I think he's got a pretty
please
good bonus here.
Check.
Hopefully he doesn't roll another one. He's got a plus 15, and surely he can't roll that bad.
Don't tell him the odds.
Hey!
There we go. That's good. Yeah.
All right.
Engines are hot. Oh, things are heating up. You guys get onto the guns. I'm not going to make you rolls to make you make rolls to make checks. The AT-AT turns and actually does fire off a couple of very like basic attempted shots, but it's way too. Pretty much at this point, all of them are going, what? And so they're firing off guns, they're firing off the AT-AT as best they can control it, but they're doing more damage to the starport than they are to your ship. any shot that gets close enough to even possibly hit you deflects off the shields, and so the ship turns and very dramatically blasts off out of the atmosphere of Coruscant and on into space. So, as soon as you hit the edge of the planet's atmosphere, there are no ships in sight, strangely. You know there are plenty around the planet, but in this immediate area, there's no one there to get you. And so if the plan is to... Well, actually, what is the plan? Where would you like to go?
I'd say just in case we miss some tracker, we need to not go immediately back to the Resurgence. We need to find a midpoint somewhere.
Yes. What about that mysterious voice? Might he pop on one more time and say something?
Sure.
Or are they in the ship?
No, he's definitely not in the ship. In fact, the mysterious voice would come across and say, "Pleasantly surprised. I'll contact you soon." And that's it.
Groz is like hitting buttons. Like, he definitely didn't authorize any communication there and is very confused about what's happening.
He's pressing those buttons.
By the way, as a quick aside,
can we have Balin find coordinates to a refueling station and we can go from there.
Do you think spaceships take fuel? Like, you just put some gas in it? You just hit up the local Costco?
Refueling stations are a thing.
Don't slip on some pee-pee?
Don't question the totally person that's been watching Star Wars stuff for the past month in between shows.
As a quick aside, I've never talked about Smuggler's Run at all, because the ride itself is fine. We weren't as excited about that one as we were Rise, but we did get to play Engineers on there, which at first I was like, oh man, we're not piloting, we're not gunners. No, Engineers is awesome. You get to hit all the buttons. Yeah, you get to hit all the buttons and flip all the switches and stuff. And then they had two people, we didn't actually have gunners, they had two, another couple was the pilot in front of our pilots, and they were terrible. And I hated them, and they screwed up our run. But we both got Marauder-level stuff, so we were very excited about that. But yeah, it's very cool. Like, all of a sudden, you'll feel the thing hit something, and they're like, all right, anything that's flashing, hit it. Flip this switch. It's cool. It was fun. That's all I can think about this. Okay. So, it takes you not very long to find, like, a very basic run-of-the-mill refueling station. There's a few ships in and out, nothing of Imperial or Rebel insignias. It seems safe enough. Not the kind of place... It's like any basic gas station. You don't want to hang out there forever, but you're also not in any immediate danger. So you're able to refuel, give the ship another once-over as best you can tell. Again, there does not appear to be any... I'll let you take 10 on that. As you do not find any tracking devices, any detonators, anything like that. The ship seems clean.
Where do we go from here?
That's up to you.
Harani's caused enough trouble in the past day or so. She's she's calming herself down.
As all this is happening, that's a good question. What are you guys doing? As all this is happening, what are you doing?
Harani is she's actually flipping through all of the news channels to see anything about what happened on the planet, because she's still looking for Ridley and all the other people that were missing from the bodies. So she's hoping there's some sign. So she's just scanning all of the news. And also to see if there's any mention of her specifically.
Major news coverage is not going to mention anything about what happened in that safe house. There are a couple of very, like, low-key places, a couple of very, not disreputable, but not your major networks that are going to mention that something strange happened there, that there was a lot of Imperial cleanup. Even then, they don't have the details, and they certainly don't have any mention of any murders or anything like that. That kind of stuff would get wiped off the holonet almost immediately. As far as major missions go, there's still occasionally discussion about the Amici Spire and a few, you know, images here and there, but they seem to have mostly moved on from showing your pictures to showing pictures of the destruction and the rubble. This is one of those things that for a little while was, let's put it out there for everyone to see, and now it's more of a, you know, if you go in the post office, your mugshot might be up there somewhere, that kind of thing.
She takes a good mugshot.
What else? What are the rest of you guys doing?
Well, I guess she would also try to contact Narada, because she also disappeared.
Yes, and she will not receive a response from her, unfortunately. Only static.
That's not good.
Sigurd's still trying to reach out to Master Dinia, or is now trying to reach out to Master Dinia since he hadn't been able to previously.
Sigurd, you in particular received some distressing feedback on that, almost like an immediate sharp headache. You're not getting her voice back specifically, but Denia seems to be in some sort of trouble. Something's wrong wherever she is. And last you knew, she was on the Resurgence.
So I'm going to pass that message on, that information on to the pilots and say, I think we need to get.
We still have people down on Coruscant that we need to save. We got to go to a lot of places at once.
Well, it turns out that the home base for this little rebellion is it might be in trouble, so we might want to check in.
Harati would very much, when you mentioned the rebellion and the base, just kind of give you a mocking face, because she's not too keen on the mission at the moment. Anyway, you're no Kraid.
Kruskog's meditating in the crew quarters. He's needing to clear his mind. We escaped with our lives, but he is troubled by what's been happening on Coruscant. The next steps and the fact that he's been told to disconnect from the people with whom he'd been associating for this mission leaves him a bit bothered. So his whole goal is to meditate. I'm assuming at some point he hears the word from Sigurd about Denia being in trouble, and this is going to trouble
his spirit. He actually doesn't need it. In the course of that meditation, though, you don't get the immediate sharp feedback that Kruskog does because you weren't specifically trying to reach out to her. You do get that muddied, sort of muddled message of distress. Something is wrong amongst your friends.
On my end of things, I would have been taking the time to kind of gather notes together on everything that's been happening. And for the record, I'm with Sigurd that we need to go back because we need to find out whether or not Varth has screwed us over.
Why are you looking at me? I'm not the pilot. Oh, okay. Right. I am the pilot. Graz is the pilot. That's up to him.
Graz is just waiting for instructions. he's got you on. He's got you ready to take off whenever you're ready. But he's pretty much just waiting on you to point him in a direction.
Ronnie's trying to calm everybody down, saying, "Look, Graz is the one in charge here. I don't have anything to do with this." Do we have any other ships? We don't have any other no. Kraid had an X-wing, but that's over now.
I had a headhunter.
Headhunter, that's right.
The Z-95. Yeah, the Z-95 yeah. Headhunter.
But that's
over. The closest thing that you've got a speeder bike in the holding bay. But that's it.
I don't think that's going to
That's Graz's. It's Graz's new toy.
Yeah, I don't think that Scooty Puff Jr. is going to get us across the galaxy. All right, we'll go back to the Resurgence.
You could probably jump Springfield Gorge though.
Well, I could try spinning.
Yeah. That's a good trick.
Yeah. Reluctantly, so Harani.
On a course back to the Resurgence.
Reluctantly, Harani still wants to go back to Coruscant because she's worried about everybody that was missing. But she knows that the Jedi are bossy, and she reluctantly agrees to it.
I mean, if Narada's with your friends, they've all survived to this point. I'm sure they found somewhere to hide.
And are we not going to discuss the mysterious person that shut down a walker to help us escape?
Oh, we very much are going to discuss that en route, but at this point, Kruskog doesn't know that he has an answer because he never heard that voice. That's not great. Kruskog's going to note kind of the same thing that Iris does in the respect that if you trust Narada, she has been an accomplice to you for many weeks now. If you have faith in her to survive, have faith in her to help those that were with her.
Kraid cut her arm off.
Graz waits until everyone else has had their say and then very gently and very calmly places his paw on Harani's shoulder and then very seriously raises his other hand up and presses the button that says, "I am hungry."
All right, so we're heading back to the Resurgence. Peanut and Baneland, get this Wookiee some food, please.
Just picturing it.
Oh, all right. He's very serious. And then, "I am hungry." Also, the more I think about it, the funnier it is if that Vox box of his sounds like Stephen Hawking's thing.
I am hungry.
I am hungry. hungry. I am hungry. Like, okay. Anyway,
Draws with a so you're able to plot a spell on his chest.
He has to pull the cord just to get it to do the thing. He plots a course toward the resurgence, which is not difficult. You guys have been there. It's basically like pressing home on your GPS at this point. And the ship takes off. Hyperspace is engaged for the better part of a couple of hours. It doesn't take all that long. Is there anything in particular anyone needs to do in this time? Everyone's pretty well healed up and all that, yes?
Taking a nap.
Getting constant, constant refills on tea. While I pilot,
do we know where Rend is at? We did have a stowaway on this ship at time.
What happened to that son of a bitch? I forgot all. In fact, as we're piloting, Nerati's just like,
were shut off. They probably yanked his ass off the ship.
Whatever happened to that one guy?
Yeah, he is nowhere to be found, and Iris is probably on the die. If he was there when the Empire showed up, they probably took him away. So
Nerati just casually asked, "Did we like him?" No, okay.
We were trying to fulfill a promise.
Gives the thumbs down. Groz didn't care for that guy at all.
Groz is the goddamn emperor from Gladiator.
The trip itself is mostly uneventful, unless you need it to be for any particular reason.
Please, no.
Unfortunately, hyperspace then gives way to a very dramatic scene. You were hoping, show up, pull into the resurgence, no big deal. As soon as you come out of hyperspace, the alarms start blaring. Right. Groz takes his feet off the panel and leans forward to see that a number of ships on the horizon, including the resurgence, are trading turbo laser fire. There's explosions all throughout space in the area surrounding their capital ships. Signs of starfighter combat too far away to make out clearly, but what is clear are the two very large Star Destroyers on the edge of their effective range that are sending out those blasts, aimed primarily at the remaining Corellian Corvette, but also at the Resurgence and the other ships under her protection. It's clear that the Resurgence is trying to stand her ground and firing their own turbolaser blasts back at the Imperial ships, but other ships in the Loyalist Flotilla are moving away. They're clearly trying to escape the fight. There's a flash of light, a large ball of fire and debris that marks the violent end of a Gallifrey transport right as you come out of hyperspace. Your communications crackle to life, and it's very obviously the voice of Captain Verana, who pops in and says, "You're too late. They've got us right where they want us, and it'd be suicide for you to stay. But we're running out of options. All of our escape pods have been jettisoned, and the shields are about to buckle, so mind if we hitch a ride with you?" Before you can answer, another crewman pops into the background. You can hear in the distance, he says, "Sir, we've got reports of Imperial troops on board." And Verana comes back in and says, "Damn it. On second thought, you guys might be better off." Hiss of static. The transmission ends.
Well, shit.
And that's where we end tonight's episode.
I mean, that's not making a really short episode.
We got a helper.
Then we cut it off there.
We got a helper, right?
Her?
Him?
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 Him? Adrian Verana is his name.
Could be a girl. I don't assume.
That's true. Adrian is how it's spelled. But yeah, it's a dude.
Okay. Hey, John.
Can I reach out through the force to see if there's anybody, any force users on that ship that might be issues?
You can, yeah, there's an application to use the force for that. Hang on. It's called Sense Force.
I believe so.
Went too far. Skills.
Hi, Allison. Yeah. Hello, everybody. You're joining in very late. You missed
they weren't expecting this on Monday.
You missed a great, escape. It involved thermal detonators and Wookiees.
MTV's Dan Cortez.
Yeah, my son. Yeah, make you use the force check there, Sigurd.
Can I rename my character Dan Cortez?
19.
It's Star Wars, so wouldn't he have to be like Can Dortez?
Can Dortez.
Can Dortez.
And it's actually Candor Tez.
Candor Tez. Yeah.
Or it could be Dan Cortez. Okay.
Oliver clothes off.
No. All right.
I'm a stupid moron with a big butt, and my butt smells. And sometimes I like to smell my own butt.
I like to kiss my own butt. Yeah. Kiss my own butt. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah,
or is it smell?
No, it's kiss. You're right. I made it weirder.
Okay. Sigurd, you can sense that there are some Force users present in the area, but something is pushing back, and so it is not clear if they are friend or foe. It could be Denia, because she may be fighting for her life. There is a strong presence of the Force in the area, and that's what you got. That's what I can tell you.
Let's go. We're gonna go help them.
Okay. So, as Graz moves the ship in toward the fighting, the majority of the heavy fire is all being concentrated on the last of the corvettes. And now you can see there are TIE fighters that are screaming around, but they are tangling with the loyalist starfighters, a couple of headhunters, some X-Wings, you know, whatever they can cobble together. There is a docking tunnel that is open and not currently being targeted, so pretty well you're able to make your way directly into that, and it leads right into the interior of the capital ship. As soon as you dock and land, though, you can see and hear all around you that it is chaos everywhere. Lights are flashing, mostly because the systems are failing. There are clacks on sirens blaring. And even outside of the docking bay, you can see that there are bodies littering the corridors. Occasionally, as stormtroopers, far too many of them are clearly rebel loyalists. So pretty well, you're able to get out of the ship, but it is chaos. Where would you like to go, and what would you like to do?
Can we try to contact the captain again, or anybody on the ship, to see if anybody can reply?
You can put out a general all call, but for the most part, you're not getting much in the way of responses. However, you can ping Verana's location, because he gave you that pretty much once he contacted you from the ship. He is somewhere on the main deck, like on the command deck of the Resurgence right now.
There we need to head.
That's probably the farthest away. It's not the room next to us, is it?
No. It's a distance, but it's not going to take you all the way to the other end of the ship. It's about halfway, probably. All
right, then, yeah, that's where we're going. Weapons out. Get them ready.
Yep.
Heat them up.
Smoking.
Let's go.
No, I am not taking the missile launcher out on the ship.
That's probably a good idea.
that's probably a good plan, yes.
I mean, it's can't do much worse.
Just don't give it to Kruskog.
Excuse me.
He's like Shaquille O'Neal at the free throw line right now with those ones.
Shit. Hack a Shack is working, brick.
Making your way through the ship, the first major problem that you come across is that one corridor is currently swinging with live power cables. So it's going to require from you guys to get through. Well, you got a couple of options. Someone can try to shut down the power in that area. That would be a mechanics check. Someone can try to use acrobatics to get from one end to the other and shut down the power from there. Those are the two that come to mind, but if someone's got a more creative suggestion, I'm here for that too.
No, I'm going to mechanic it. I'm not creative.
Yeah, you've got a plus 18.
Yeah.
I got a plus 12 in acrobatics, so if that doesn't work, I can do something.
The mechanics is going to be more difficult than the acrobatics because you're having to access a panel that doesn't normally control that area. You're trying to reroute power.
You know what, Kruskog? I think this is one of those redemption stories.
I have a higher acrobatics than him.
You what?
I have a higher acrobatics.
Kruskog, you're out. Iris is in.
I got plus 14.
Ride the pine, buddy.
Go for it.
Here we go.
Here we go.
31.
Hey, pretty good. Okay, so what was that movie with Sean Connery and he's like the older spy, like teaching the, I forget who the actress was, but like had to move through the laser grid?
Was it
what I'm talking about?
Was it Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Was it?
No.
Yes.
Was it?
Yep. Yes, it was.
I can't remember the movie's name, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I can't either, but it's that, basically, but like less gratuitous, pretty much. Iris manages to just deftly maneuver through these cables, get to the other end, and shut down the power in that area so that everyone can make their way through. Well done.
And then I get my gun back out.
Good stuff.
Entrapment.
There it is.
Entrapment. There
it is.
I was trying to think about that, too. Okay, the next thing that comes across as you're making your way through the hallways, a round of turbo laser fire is now hitting the hole. Real quick, let me make a roll for that.
Michaela said, I almost said Spy Kids, but I knew that was wrong. Yes.
Yes, it yes. was.
Missed it by that much.
Not enough. The ship rocks and shakes, and you're all sort of thrown against the wall momentarily, but not enough to damage anybody or throw anybody prone. However, the next compartment that you come across, again, moving through areas where bodies are littering the place, there's a compartment that has recently been exposed to open space. It's pretty clear the life support systems has failed. Once again, somebody's going to have to get to the other end and reinitiate the systems in that area. You got a couple options here. A high endurance would be helpful. Somebody who can basically, you know, hold their breath pretty much from one end to the other. You could also make a mechanics check and attempt to shut it down from there. But again, it's going to be a little more difficult. Those two come to mind. If anyone has a more creative idea, I'm here for it. For the record, Groz has a plus 15 in endurance, so he can always try to just, you know, hold his breath to the other end.
Well, okay, so I remember there was a Star Wars film where a Jedi got sucked out into space and she just kind of floated back. Can't one of these guys just do that? Just float over there and it doesn't affect them?
Yeah, it would be the jump skill, basically. The force, there's a term for it, but that... You use it to help you jump, too. Because you make fun of that, even though the exact same thing happens in the prequels when they jump, like, 50 stories up. It's the same application. It's the same deal.
Hey, I didn't hate that scene, for the record. I did not hate that scene. Well, what do you
I meant the royal you.
Oh, okay, yeah. do either of you guys have that, or, you know?
No.
No?
I mean, we have used
force. It's a specific power.
Yeah. No. I looked it up, but I don't have it.
Hey, Groz.
Groz's going to do it.
Yeah.
Groz did it.
Groz did it real hard. Groz. Yeah.
Hey.
32. It's a plus 15. Groz basically just looks around and sees that nobody's, like, able to make a move through there and just goes... was running to the other end. It's actually pretty funny because also the gravity is reduced in that area, so he's kind of like doing the Mario run and jump as he moves through. Yeah, bouncing. He's never felt so free. It almost looks like a frolic, and then he remembers they could all die at any second. So at the other end, he manages to hotwire the panel and shut it down, brings down the emergency shutters, and air systems are restored to the area, so you're able to make your way through. Boy.
He's real good.
He is.
He's Ethan Strong. He's
a special, special child. No! By now, you can tell that things are... I mean, if the tension isn't already there, the worst part of it is that you are finding, again, the occasional dead or mortally wounded stormtrooper. So, troops are somewhere nearby. But there are no Imperial troops that you encounter alive. There are no Rebel troops that you encounter alive. This place has been under attack for quite some time. And things have gotten dicey. Just in the nick of time, you have arrived to basically find that is the case. As you round a corner, make your way toward the access corridor that leads up to the bridge. First, you find that there are several stormtroopers now, much more than you've seen up to this point, lying motionless in the corridor. There are still smoking holes in their white armor. The distinctive sound of blaster fire can be heard up ahead from where you are, and peering around the corner, you can see, you pretty well see the bridge from where you are, crowded. Basically with fallen crew and stormtroopers. It looks like the crew attempted to evacuate, but they were bottlenecked here by a squad of the stormtroopers, and there's an Imperial officer's voice that you can hear calling out because he's not using the sort of mechanic, robotic stormtrooper helmet. You hear him say, "All right, Verana, this is your last chance. Surrender." And he's calling this out over just sustained bursts of fire. Verana, somewhere pained in the distance, you hear him go, "Hell." And the officer says, "Have it your way." You hear him take a moment to turn and says, "Go on in, Sergeant. Take no prisoners." And that is where we're going to end it for tonight.
Boo!
That's
what I want to shoot him.
You'll get your chance.
You'll have your opportunity. All right. Guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning in and for joining us on this. I didn't even mention at the beginning of the show, but on this off night, we moved it up a week to accommodate schedules, or moved it up a day this week to accommodate schedules. I suspect next week we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming. But we'll see. We'll keep you updated. In the meantime, Shannon, what else is going on this week?
I feel like if that captain's going to die, he's going to grab Iris, pull her close, and say, "Do one thing for me."
No.
Get Bang. The Empire.
Well, he's going to tell her if she keeps eating them hot links, she won't make it to that pension.
So I think tomorrow we're doing I Want to Believe, but I'll believe it when I see it. So we'll see what happens. Wednesday, of course, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thursday, After Dark. Friday, Horse Time with a live Kaz will be joining me where she is.
I'm not Kaz.
I have some suggestions about that. We may even make it a little crazier this week.
I'll talk to you. I like that. The Kaz man is in town. We hung out with him on Sunday.
Yes.
It's a good time, and it's Horse Time come this Friday.
So. Right.
Oh, buddy.
It continuously blows my mind that Kaz and I have not met.
That's true.
Like, it's very weird to me that we've only been friends for like a few months, because it feels like I've known Kaz my entire life. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, I told him.
I made a point to tell him, like, we got to meet up before he leaves.
Yeah, I told him when he was down, when we were having dinner with him and Lindsay, and Ken Murphy wasn't sitting with us, but we ran into him like 30 times this weekend. Everywhere we went, Ken Murphy followed. He was stalking me, I'm pretty sure.
He's everywhere you want to be.
But I told Kaz, I said, you know, it's amazing that you joined the you joined the show, and almost immediately it felt like you've been here the whole time. You know, everybody kind of goes through these motions where they join the show and there's like a probationary period and you become a regular, like Dalton did and Asa did. But it feels like he has been a part of it since the beginning. And, you know, he used to host his own podcast with Street PX, and it was a very natural fit for him. So, yeah, I'm it's also crazy to think that you guys don't actually know Kaz, other than me and Lindsay and Tanner possibly. Weird.
Yeah. So,
Gerald, you're going to have to wait till next week to find out who the unknown benefactor is. We will finish the story later.
That's right. And it's all going down next week again, Tuesday night. Theoretically, we'll keep posted 7 o'clock. No, 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. Let's just get real. By the time we get going. More than likely, if not then the next week. I've said this before, by the end of June for sure, we will be ending Act 2. We'll be ending Episode 7 and Act 2 of the Dawn of Defiance campaign. So tune in next week for the next installment of Episode 7, A Reckoning of Wraiths. Until then, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Tanner, for Cody, I am your Game Master Double H. May the Force be with you. We'll see you next week. Later.